Thank the Lord for the privilege of being here today. It is a comfort to be with the saints of God, to be in a place of worship. I'd like to give you a definition this morning for a servant. A servant is a person that attends to another person by performing menial tasks and is subject to his command. Servants differ from slaves because a servant's subjection to a master is voluntary. The slave's is not. I would like to read from Mark chapter 10 and verse 35. Mark 10 and 35, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand and one on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of? And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister." The word minister here comes from a Greek word that is likely derived from the word that means to run errands. Specifically, a Christian teacher and pastor, a deacon or deaconess, a minister, a servant. Verse 44, "And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Who was the Son of Man? He was the creator of those whom he came to serve. He was the creator of those that he came and laid down his life for. Yet, in spite of being their creator, he chose to serve them. Quite an example for us, isn't it? The one who put down this carnal squabble among the disciples of who would be the greatest and showed us the greatest example of servitude that we will ever see. One who chose to serve. I'd like to consider John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 7. Matthew 11 and 7, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Why did John come into this earth? To live in king's houses? To wear soft clothing? No. John wore a leather girdle. He wore camel's hair. John the Baptist did not have a palace to live in. A winter palace by the Mediterranean Sea and a summer palace in Jerusalem. John came for a much higher purpose than that. It was to help usher in the kingdom of heaven, to be a servant to men. John chapter 1 and verse 19, John speaks of himself. John 1 and 19, this is the record of John. When the Jews sent the priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Esaias." Who are you, John? Are you some great man? Who do you think you are? "I believe I'm a voice." He didn't try to put himself up as somebody real great. But instead, he came, like others, as a servant to man. If anyone deserved to be in the king's houses, to wear soft clothing, to have a life of luxury, it seems like it would be Jesus, wouldn't it? Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. Luke 9 and 57, it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." A lot of people have said that today, haven't they? I want to follow the Lord. You know, there are real advantages to following the Lord. In fact, we have preaching today that is called prosperity preaching. All you have to do is send in a lot of money and the Lord's going to bless you even more. "Lord, I want to follow you." Well, Jesus seemed to want to help him understand what it is like to follow a person that has the heart of a servant. Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." No house in Jerusalem, no tent, nothing. Jesus came to serve rather than to be a king wearing soft clothing in king's houses. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Philippians 2 and 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." We've seen examples of that, haven't we? Have you known anyone that rather than putting themselves first, looked and saw what the needs of other people were? That inspires us, doesn't it? To want to do the same in our own lives. Look not every man on his own things. That doesn't mean we can't have jobs, we can't take care of ourselves. But I think the lesson here is to have the heart of a servant. "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." And I remember Brother Leslie Busby explaining this phrase thought it not robbery to be equal with God, as he did not think of that as something to hold on to. He was willing to give it up. But made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus came and, for the joy that was set before him, endured some things, didn't he? Was it the joy of the glory that he would receive later? I think a lot of it was the joy of realizing that each one of us could be saved, could follow in his steps. But to do so, he took on the form of a servant. He wasn't born in a king's palace. It was in the manger. It was where the animals stayed and ate. And the stench of animals, that's where our Lord and our Savior was born. What an example. What an humbling of himself. King of glory, Lord of lords. Lord, if you can do that, what should my heart be like? Should my heart also be willing to humble itself? Should I be willing to take on the form of a servant, or is that below my dignity? Lord, help us to have the heart of a servant. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, a prophecy of Jesus. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, a donkey, and upon the colt of a foal of an ass, on a young animal. He didn't come on a charging white stallion with a big army behind him and all arrayed in the apparel of a king, the soft clothing, the amazing colors, to the awe-inspiring sight. That's not how Jesus came. He came lowly. King of glory. So how should you and I present ourselves to other people, to the world, before God? How should we present ourselves? Shouldn't it be lowly, like our example, our Lord and Savior? I'd like to look at some contrast here. On one side, we have a carnal heart. On the other side, we have a servant's heart. A carnal heart seeks to dominate others. Don't we see that in the world today? A servant's heart seeks to promote others. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? A carnal heart seeks to build empires. A servant's heart seeks to restore that which was lost. A carnal heart asks, how can you serve me? A servant's heart asks, how can I serve you? God, give us a servant's heart. If I feel like I am royalty, and you don't treat me like royalty, there's going to be a problem. But if I have the heart of a servant, if I feel like I am a servant, and you don't treat me like royalty, things are going to go a whole lot smoother, aren't they? In fact, the scripture says, only by pride cometh contention. So, did you know that when we get the heart of a servant, a whole lot of our people problems go away? Isn't that amazing? Oh God, grant me the heart of a servant. I'd like to look at some examples from the past of people that had the heart of a servant. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. 2 Kings 5 and 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor. In life, there are some people that somehow achieve higher positions than others. And sometimes we can get a struggle in our hearts because of that. Sometimes life just doesn't seem fair, does it? Not all of us have the same opportunities. Some people are born handicapped. Some people are born in poverty-stricken countries. Life just isn't fair. And here, this was Naaman, the captain of the host, and he was a mighty man of valor. Somehow he was born into the right family, or the right circumstances of life came to him, and he achieved this position of prominence. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she went to her mistress. She said, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now this girl was a maid. She was a personal servant. She was in a lowly position. You want some unpleasant task done? Call the maid. That was her job. She was not there by choice. She was a captive. But I want you to notice this girl's attitude. What she called this captain of the host. She said to her mistress, would God, in other words, from the depths of her heart, would God, my Lord, and when, that's a small L, which means she was referring to the man in a position of honor. I would to God that my Lord, the captain of the host, were with the prophet that is in Samaria. Now, this little girl could have resented her place of servitude, her place of being a slave in a foreign land, taken away from her family, from her homeland, and she could have said, it serves him right. She could have just maybe not had that attitude, but just kept quiet about it. But no, she speaks up. And she utters from the depths of her heart, I just wish he was with the prophet in Samaria, because he would recover him from his leprosy. This is the heart of a servant. Yes, I'm in a disadvantaged place in life, The circumstances aren't what I would like for them to be, but I want to wish you well. I want to serve you. How can I serve you? Let's consider another example of a man with a servant's heart from the past, and that was Daniel. Daniel had the king deliver him into the lion's den. Daniel chapter 6, verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went with haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. It wasn't, what were you thinking when you knew that I might die a violent death? Why didn't you have the backbone? Who do you think you were to defy the living God of heaven? You ought to be deposed. See, God delivered me. Now watch what's going to happen to you. No, that was not his attitude. What is our attitude toward our enemies when they are treating us so badly? Can we wish a blessing on them? Can we say, O King, live forever. I bless you. You cursed me. Now I want to bless you. That's the heart of a servant. Consider another servant of the past, a woman with a servant's heart, and that is Mary. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. Luke 1 and 30, the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Why do you suppose she found favor with God? Do you suppose the Lord God of heaven looked into her heart and saw something that pleased him? And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. The Jews had been looking for this so long. We want someone to sit on David's throne. We've heard there's a Messiah coming. And then Mary gets the message this day, having found favor with God because she had a servant's heart. Mary, you are the one that is going to give birth to the Messiah. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Do you see how God looks down on his humble people and blesses and favors them? The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Verse 38, And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, the female servant, the one when you say, go do this and go do that, clean my shoes, prepare and make the guests comfortable, wash the clothes, whatever it may be. Yes, my Lord. This is the kind of attitude she was taking toward the Lord God of heaven. Behold the handmaid. I will serve you, Lord. How can I serve you? Is this the way that I serve you? Yes, Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. But Mary, your reputation, do you not realize what people are going to say about you? They will say of Jesus, your son, he is born of fornication. Back in those days, people were ashamed of fornication. It was considered shameful. And may I add, it still is. Even though people are proud of it today, she was a woman of honor. And she didn't want to bring a reproach. Mary, your reputation. If you say, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, your reputation is going to be at stake. They're going to say all kinds of bad things to you, and how can you prove otherwise? You're not a married woman. Behold thy handmaid. Let my reputation go. If this is the way that I can serve you, Lord, I want to serve you. Consider the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15. But before we do, I want to ask you this. How do you think Mary would feel today if she knew how many statues there were made of her in the world today? If Mary could look down today and see people kneeling at her statue and praying, how do you think Mary would feel? I believe she'd be very, very disturbed by the worship of a person. The prodigal son, Luke chapter 15 and verse 17. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Sometimes we're better off just being a servant than being that free person that gets to get out there and experience and do whatever we want to do. We'd be better off staying in the constraints of Father's house. But when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Do you realize what happened to the prodigal son? His heart was transformed from the heart of a rebel to the heart of a servant. And oh, what joy it brought into his life. What happiness there was in Father's house. Bring out the fatted calf. Bring the best robe. Put a ring on his hand. For my son that was dead is now alive. You see, he got converted in his heart from rebellion, from dominance, from I am going to do for me whatever I can do, to a heart of a servant. Father, how can I serve you? I'm just going to humble myself down. I'm not worthy. Oh, the joy that was in heaven. I want you to take note that a servant is not always appreciated. A servant tends to work in the background, doing things that most people don't know about. A servant tends to put other people ahead of themselves. When a king holds a great feast, and the honorable guests are there sitting and enjoying the lavish feast with the king, They honor the king, perhaps, for such a wonderful meal. It is so delicious. These fruits are exotic, and it is so well prepared. Oh, king, how wonderful your kingdom is. And the servant in the kitchen maybe hears that. And what did they do? Run out there and say, oh, I want you to know I'm the one that cooked that meal. Can I have some credit too, please? If it wasn't for all my years of experience and if I wasn't so skillful in my preparation, you wouldn't be enjoying this like you are today. Is that what the servant does? No. We don't need to try to take the glory of the Father. When we have a servant's heart, we want to give glory to the Father. We are content to work back in the kitchen to do the dirty tasks, because we are rewarded from heaven. We don't need the praise of man when we truly have the heart of a servant. Luke chapter 17 and verse 7. Luke 17 and 7, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Now the servant may have been tired, out there doing hard physical labor. And the master doesn't say, oh, I know you're so tired and hungry. Go ahead and take care of yourself. I can wait. No. You serve me first, and then you can eat. Verse 9, doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. You ever had your feelings hurt because somebody didn't thank you enough for something you did? I have. I'm confessing, I'm human. Lord, help me to have the heart of a servant. Are we servants this morning? Romans 10 and 12. I'm sorry, I may have told you the wrong reference, but here's the scripture. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful, it's Romans 12 and 10, sorry. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Who are we serving? The Lord. Now, if we're serving men for the praise of men, we're going to be disappointed. We don't get enough thanks and recognition for what we're doing. But be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. What an honor it is to serve the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Given to hospitality is a way that we can serve others. I appreciate the example we have seen of given to hospitality. Haven't you appreciated that? Opening the home, serving meals, looking for people. Do you have a place to go for lunch? Have you ever seen that? God, give us the heart of a servant. Hebrews 13 and 1, let brotherly love continue. And be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. When you give a cup of water to one in my name, you've done it to me, Jesus says. When our hearts are so open, when we are so given to serving others, we're going to be doing that to our Lord and our Savior. John 13 and 12. So after he had washed their feet, Jesus, and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? According to the Bible commentator, this was the duty of the lowest slaves to wash the feet of the guests. When David sent to Abigail to inform her that he had chosen her for wife, she arose and said, behold, let thy handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. Abigail was an admirable woman. She saved a lot of people's lives by humbling herself. And then here she is, when the king proposes to have her for a wife, she's saying, behold your handmaid, your servant. And let me be a servant to wash the feet of your servants. When we truly have the heart of a servant, the Lord knows how to reward us, to give us the promotion, whatever it is that we need. The Lord knows how to do that when he looks in our hearts and gives and sees the heart of a servant. Verse 13, ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. We are not greater than Jesus, are we? Greatest one that ever walked this earth. And if he humbled himself to be born in a manger, to ride on a colt in his great grand entry, to take on the form of a servant, if he had that kind of mind and he was God, what kind of mind should you and I have? Something higher than that? I don't think so. Lord, give us the heart of a servant. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we need you so much. Lord, we've had wonderful examples before us. We have had those in the Old Testament that showed us what it means to be disadvantaged, to have wrongs done to them, yet have hearts that were willing to serve. Lord, we have people in recent times that have gone before us and shown us what it means to pour their lives out for the cause of the kingdom, for the cause of other people. Lord, we're challenged today. And I pray in Jesus' name, you will help us to humble ourselves. You will help us to say, behold thine handmaid. Behold your servant. Oh God, to lay aside our own selfishness, our own lives, our own dreams, ambitions, and instead following the example that you've set for us. Bless this congregation in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.